website qualityplusconsulting.com.
Hello and welcome to WGTD's Education Matters. I'm your host, Jonathan Shaler, and I'm very pleased to introduce you to our guest today. It's Ayisu Laerte. Ayisu Laerte is the assistant professor in music theory and contemporary commercial music at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. His areas of expertise include music theory and ear training, music composition, orchestration, and arranging, piano, guitar, bass, drums, African percussion, classical and contemporary voice performance, playwriting, lyric writing, and musical theater composition. He wrote and composed Lulu and the Long Walk, which won Best New Musical for Young Audiences. He was nominated for Best Music Director for the same production. Ayisu composed and co-wrote lyrics for What's Left, commissioned by the New York Film Academy. He was a Jonathan Larson Grant finalist in 2021. And Ayisu is a UW Parkside alum and earned his MFA in musical theater writing at NYU Tisch School of the Arts. Welcome, Ayisu.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to see you, Ayisu. So people should know that long ago and far away, I was your communication professor in an intro level course.
Yes,
remember that?
No, it was an awesome course. And I remember you had that's where we read Barack Obama's, I believe his first or second autobiography. We read his first one, which was pretty cool. You know, that was awesome.
Yeah, Dreams from My Father, a wonderful book. And then later on, I had the great good fortune to sing the national anthem with you at a UW Parkside commencement ceremony.
Oh,
and that was awesome.
That was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
We did well together.
Yeah, so it's great to have you on. And before our audience starts rolling their eyes at our reunion here, let's get into the heart of the interview. Because I'm sure folks would like to know more about you and your career in education and music. So let's start at the beginning. Could you share a little bit about how you grew up in music education and how did the whole journey for you begin?
Well, all right. So I guess for me personally, music was kind of always a thing, right? I always liked music. I always did music. I was pretty much just a very artsy kid. I remember singing Michael Jackson songs with my brothers, and I could hit all, I could hit all the note because, my voice hadn't changed yet, and my older brother, his voice was starting to change, so, we sing stuff together. But I remember really creatively, it started when my parents got a piano. They wanted to, bring culture into the house and everything. Mm. So they got a piano when I was 8. And we had piano lessons with Miss Hackard, but I remember being like, well, this is like the arrogance of an 8-year-old, which in some ways hasn't left. But I'm sitting there playing the songs that I'm supposed to play. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, these songs, whatever. And I started making up my own stuff, right? So I started writing songs when I was 8. And I still remember, that first song I wrote when I was 8. And it's still to this day, sometimes I look at it and I'm like, it still has all the kind of things I like in it.
Oh.
But it's super simple, obviously. But
what was the title of that song? Just curious.
No, I never named it.
Never named it.
I really should have named it. Now I think I should name it. But it was just like this little song, and I remember thinking it was cool, and then I would just keep writing stuff, and And because, you know, I didn't have, you know, I couldn't really write stuff down. I would just memorize everything. So for the longest time, I had a bunch of songs I had memorized until, you know, I could record them. But the first and second song that I ever wrote, I still remember when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And that was, and that's just what it was. It was just like that kind of that thing. There was something in me that was just like, I just want to make the stuff. And I think that's kind of like how I am, right? It's like I don't really watch sports. I'd rather play them, you know. Like, and that's just kind of how I am. Around like 13 or 14 years old is when I just call it the age of ascension, like when you want to rock or not, right? But that was when you decide that, like, I think most people decide they want to be serious about whatever they're doing in the arts, right? Maybe they may have some, some abilities here and there, but is this something you want to do? And for me, it turned into something I wanted to do. Like, I remember, there was some song I made up for like Just Say No Day, and I sang it in front of like the whole middle school.
Where was this, by the way?
This was a Viking Junior High, so it's actually technically a junior high, but like Viking Junior High in Gurnee, Illinois.
Gurnee, Illinois.
And I remember, you know, I remember just doing that whole thing, and I had a friend, I had my friend Dennis was like, you know, you should join choir. So, like, okay, so I joined choir, and keep in mind, there was a part of me that was in some way anti-education, because the way I was taught when I was 8 years old was, okay, this is music, these are the notes, you're supposed to play these. And that I'm 8 years old saying, like, well, I'm creative and I want to make up something. Well, no, you're not supposed to make up anything. You're supposed to play these notes. And so, like, education was really geared towards the performer, not the creator, right? And so there was this whole, like,
Interesting.
that was there. And so I always had this drive to create. So I'm just like, well, I'm just gonna make up stuff, right? And so I never really was taught really to say, like, okay, oh, you're making something, here's how to write that down, right? As you're someone who teaches, like, you know, communication, right? You know, what do you do in your class? You read and you write, right? But like, imagine only reading. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, and you're anybody with ideas, who
Right.
every single person has ideas. So
Right.
this is also why I'm one of those people where it's like, well, I'm a musician and I don't really write and I don't whatever. Everybody has ideas. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So on that note, this is great. Would you consider yourself a storyteller?
A storyteller, often trash talker.
Well, I mean, you're a composer, so
But
what,
definitely.
how would you characterize these compositions that flow through you, that come out of you? What's inspiring you, and what are the stories that you want to tell, and how do you combine these media? I have all these questions.
Well, I mean, it's just like anything else, right? If you take in information, you have ideas about it. If you take in life, you have ideas about it, right? And everybody's experiences are beautiful and unique and worth telling, right? It's like, okay, I might be one blade of grass in the lawn, but the value of one blade of grass, the value of one penny gives the lawn and the dollar its value, right? And so like there is that experience that is singular to you, that you just write from, and that enriches and completes the human experience. And so that's kind of, I guess, where I'm coming from
All right,
when
so
we talk
let's dig into the weeds here, so to speak, to pick up on the lawn metaphor. And let's look at a particular piece. You wrote Lulu and the Long Walk. Could you tell us what that was and what it meant to you?
Well, so what's interesting about that is like so Lanny Benavides, who was also a UW alum, he was the artistic director at Hope Repertory Theater, and he needed a piece for his young audiences, and someone who lived in that area, Joel Schoon Tanis, he's an artist.
So just help us locate this in geographic space and also educational spaces so we know where we are. What, as we're talking about Lulu and the Long Walk and your collaborators, if you could tell me where we are geographically and also in artistic or educational spaces.
So Hope Repertory Theater is in Holland, Michigan, and it's a summer stock theater, and Lenny asked me to write a show for their theater, and it would be and it was a it's a theater that is also sponsored by Hope College that's there, and so this show was going to run all summer long for young audiences, and so there was a book that was written by Joel Schoon Tanis and Danny Hasseltine. Danny Hasselton from Jars of Clay, actually, he wrote the book, and Joel he illustrated the book. And it was just this, and it's a small little book. It's like just a few pages about a girl in West Africa, on going to fetch water, and her adventure is like she's gonna go fetch water for the day, and she talks to animals along the way, and everything. It's a beautiful book, and I think Dan got the idea because he's a I think a co-founder of Blood Wa Water Mission, which is it's like an international nonprofit that partners with West African communities driven, who they have like the organizations who they try to get healthy water to people and help with medications for HIV, AIDS. And so he had gone to West Africa all the time, seen people, in certain situations and where they had problems finding clean water, and his foundation would go out and, help people with, build wells and do all those other things and water purifications and all those kind of things all throughout West Africa. And so being how like, I'm West African, my dad's from Ghana, born and raised in Ghana. My name's Aisu, obviously. His name is Paul, but that's the whole story. Which I felt like, oh, what's your dad? I bet he has an interesting name. It's just Paul. So like this whole thing, they wrote this story, and it was kind of meaningful. But I thought like, well, let's like what could I do with it? Because Lenny was like, can you turn this 14-page book into a full-length musical. And
Wow, there's
I
a
was just like,
challenge.
I'm like, okay, but it also had a lot of heart, right? And so I'm just like, okay. So my dad's from West Africa, and I asked him about, like, hey, like, what did you have to like fetch water? It's like, oh, like we had to go to the well, and we fetched water and this and that. But like my dad is a, he's a chemist. He was like, pharmaceutical company executive. I mean, I think he was a head of infectious diseases at like, and so like it's, so like I know what that's like to, especially in my own experiences, being an artist, where it's like, you live a dream and you have a mission. So what I added to the show was basically, you had like this family who was in a situation fighting climate change, right? And yeah, like climate change is real. And so in the area where this Lulu is, climate change had happened. The waters have kind of dried up in that area, and she wants to be a scientist, in her life, So I almost took Lulu and my dad and combined them, right? And said like, so she wants to be a scientist, and her dad, just like he goes on the farm, and for her birthday always gets science books, and so she's super smart. She knows all this science stuff. And at the time my wife was pregnant, and I said to myself, what would I want my kid to see?
Oh,
I
beautiful.
did not, yeah, I did not want some mindless thing, to where it's like, okay, this is what this kid is seeing, and it doesn't really mean anything. It's like I wanted them to learn something. So I made sure like all the animals did what animals do, right? And like where like gazelles don't need that much water, right? And elephants create, help the habitat, which helps the water. All of that stuff, and like
Fascinating.
how the animals actually help the environment do what the environment's supposed to do.
Wow.
And Lulu finds that on her journey, on her way back and forth from the thing. There was this the one funny part was there was the wise old lion in the book, and I was like, well, how do like animals do what animals do.
Okay.
So how is like Lulu, this little girl who's lunch to this lion, gonna chill with this lion all day? So I decided, well, okay, this lion was actually captured as a cub, brought and like tried to be domesticated, right? But they never gave it meat, so it turned out like this lion ends up being a vegetarian lion.
Oh,
And then they ship,
wow.
and then some like, oh, like we want to like make sure that the lion goes back to its habitat. So they put the lion back to its habitat and drop off and they drop off vegetables for the
That's great.
lion. So Lulu encounters this vegetarian lion, and it's just like, you gotta be kidding.
That's fun. That
But
is fun.
you play with it, but basically, just like what is it like for a family, a unit, to fight climate change, and to fight climate change and frankly poverty at the same time, and able to excel and make the world, the environment, a better place. And that's what they did. And I
Beautiful.
Yeah, and so that was that story, and that was a
So,
lot of fun to write.
I'm sorry?
But that was I was just saying that was a lot of fun to write,
Yeah.
and Dan and Joel, like, they gave me like free rein. They're just like, hey, take what you want to take, do what you want to do, write what you
Yeah.
want to write,
So
and
you did it both music and you wrote the book.
yes, I wrote the book as well.
Okay. So how was it received? I mean, it went up on stage. There was an audience. There were audiences, I assume. And how
Well,
was it received?
it was received very well. It was, to that date, it was like the highest grossing show for young audience they had ever had.
Oh, wow.
It also won a best musical for young audiences that time. They also I was also nominated for best music director, which meant a lot because
Nice.
not only was I a music director, I also had, there was no band, so I recorded all the tracks myself, right? I played the guitar, the bass, the drums, percussion. I just tracked it, and then I taught the music to everyone. We got the best piece of hate mail I've ever gotten.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, one parent, Lenny was telling me that one parent had written him saying, I've been taking my kids to here, and and I want and I don't want to have to, I don't want to have my kids think at the end of, these shows, and I was like, this is the
Oh,
best.
but I don't want them to think. Oh,
Yes,
that's great.
I was like, this is the best piece of hate mail ever. Like,
Beautiful.
just like you guys had
Frame
this.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was really cool, I think, about it was, I would go to the shows every once in a while, and you can hear people talking afterwards, and people would have these discussions, with their kids about like climate change, about education, about about animals, and like. And what was the cool thing was that like people learned and understood about what animals do for our environment, and kids could say like I talked about like how elephants roam and how that roaming like how they help recycle the trees and all that other stuff.
Beautiful.
It was
Yeah. I have a question for you, Aisu. I really want to hear this now. Is there an original cast recording, or is there any way that people can get a listen?
Yeah, so there is a cast recording, and I have not released it yet.
You have not released it.
I need to release this thing.
Yes. I'm sure I speak
I've thought.
for members of our listening audience when I say, please do.
Yeah, no, I have to release it too, because like they were amazing, and so they had a whole studio there, and they were able to record everything and brought in the cast and recorded it.
Quality.
It was great.
Fantastic.
It was absolutely great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and but
And
I need to get off my butt and do that before.
yeah, so we've mentioned a couple of times that it won Best New Musical for Young Audiences. Who gives that award? Who gave that award?
A Broadway World.
Broadway World. So this is serious. So is that a regional award, a national award?
That's a regional. That's a regional award. They give out awards for regional theater.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then there's another composition I'd like to get to, but before I do, I want to remind our audiences that they're listening to WGTD FM. This is Education Matters. I'm your host, Jonathan Shaler, and today we're interviewing Aisu Laerte, the assistant professor in music theory and contemporary commercial music at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And now we're going to talk about What's Left, another piece that you wrote. This was you composed the show and you co-wrote the lyrics. This was commissioned, another commissioned piece by the New York Film Academy. So could you tell us a bit of the story behind that one?
Yeah, so Steve Nachtmey, he was working with the New York Film Academy, and he asked me and Martin Morgan, I'm sorry, Morgan Smart, he asked us to write a show for them, and it was a pretty cool process. One I would suggest most theater departments do. So they had these different classes of people studying musical theater at for film at the New York Film Academy, and each class has about like 6 to 9 people in it. And what they did was they commissioned artists to write a show for these specific people, right? So you got to know them as artists. And then you can make material that challenges them and meets them in their skill level where they're at, pushes them to where they want to go. And I thought it
Wow.
was fantastic, fantastic way to do that. And also the ability to create a character from scratch, not because like once something is produced, right, there are a certain amount of choices that have been put on that, right, by whoever originated the role, that people that's even if you don't ever see it through osmosis, gets in the script, it gets in the timing, gets whatever. And so it's like you have to make all the choices from the beginning because you are originating this. And it was a very cool process. And so Morgan and I like stumbled upon was just like a show about legacy, right? And we wanted to explore the legacy, like, what's left? Like, what do you leave behind, right? And so how we chose to do that was we explored the life of a teacher who has suddenly passed away, I think through a car accident. And
Oh.
and the teacher passed away, and we never really show the teacher, right? Except for like in this one dream sequence, but we never really show the teacher. So we the thing is like, who was this person from the view of the students, right? You have the students who liked her, maybe didn't like her so much. And one of the students is her daughter, who was like somewhat estranged because like there was a divorce, and so she spent some time with her father. She had just moved back with her mother, and we had made it to where the mother had a previous a drug use, and
Oh.
so. And so she had gotten her life together, she had gotten her daughter back, and then she dies, right? And so what's that like from the somewhat estranged daughter? What's that like for the student who like this person who just passed away was their only real mother that they had? Do you know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
what, one student is in love with her. One student's just gossiping about her. One student is like, it's been inspired by her, and it's totally like changed their life, and it's found purpose, right?
I see.
And so we just have these little moments of vignettes where all these people are talking about this one person and what they have and what's left.
And she was
I thought.
fictional, but you're drawing in threads of the actual experiences and stories of these students.
Yeah, well, so we didn't actually use stories that the students actually had. We made
Okay.
it all up, right?
Oh,
And
okay.
most and Morgan did the book, and like Morgan made, pretty much most of it, from whole cloth. But that was our situation, and that was the inciting incident of our show. And it was
Great.
and it and it was really great, and we got to write some stuff, and that was really awesome. And there
Yeah.
was
So on that piece, if I could just, maybe this question pertains to both What's Left and Lulu's Long Walk, or Lulu and the Long Walk.
yeah, she
And
did have
that
a lot.
is, one of the things that fascinates me about musical theater and that I love about musical theater is you can take any song in context and sometimes out of context and just have it connect you with a kind of archetypal or universal human experience of love or loss or wonder. And there are just some pieces that will stay with you forever, right? That you've heard in your favorite musical or whatever. And I guess I'm wondering from the point of view of the composer, of the musical genius, what What is one piece that you've written, and I mean, I guess a single song, or a single piece that you feel like you still love because it captures something. It makes your heart flutter. I hope I didn't set you up there.
Well, I mean, there's two, and I
Okay.
think, well, there's a lot. I mean, there's quite a few. Like,
But two that come to mind is fine. Yeah.
I think the one in Lulu was in Sue, and it's actually the end of the show.
Did you
And
say
also
in sooth?
in Sioux, like that means water and tree, and it's
Okay, water entry in Sioux.
and so tree is the language that my dad speaks of, and well, one of the languages, because he and it's also my son's middle name because it rained every day we went for ultrasounds.
Okay.
But it just means water or rain. And so and so like one of the magical things was like in Lulu and the Long Walk, right? Like the giraffes led them to Nsu, which is like this pure, beautiful water that they don't have to filter, that's not dirty, that no one's done. Pure, beautiful, cleansed by nature water. And I wrote this song at the end of it, which is ensue, and just and it was I still get chills about it because it was like the whole show sets up this song where all the animals, all the people, everyone comes together and they sing about the magic of ensue, the magic of water, right? And just the life that it brings. It's pretty it's just this moment, and I think I got the idea of like the that setting up that moment was when I saw Amy Battersby in The Magic Flute, and I was watching that, and then they had like the Papageno song, which I heard a bazillion times, but in that performance I like literally could not stop crying because it was like their whole quest to find each other led to this song. And the song is simple and it stands on its own and it's beautiful, but when you go through the quest, when you do the work and you find and you get and you find that moment, it just landed, and I felt like this, and the chorus of it is like blood is the lyrics go like blood well yeah wait let me see if I remember. Yep, water is the blood of the earth, water is where life had its birth, and what is it worth to live? Water is the blood of the earth, water is that blood's worth. What would you like? What would you give? I'm saying my horrible. I know
Well, I'm getting the feel of it. Yes.
but like that whole thing about like water being the blood of the earth, and then we are polluting that blood. So what does that do to the earth, right? Like that whole connection, like I thought was. That was meaningful to me.
Sounds wonderful. Was it kind of a solemn hymn or a soaring anthem? How would you characterize it?
It was a solemn, medium tempo embrace is what it
Embrace.
was. That's
Nice. Okay, so moving from there, not a easy transition, so I'll just make an abrupt one. I'm very interested in our last few minutes. We have about, I don't know, 9 minutes. to hear about your approach to teaching and what inspires you as a teacher, and how you work to inspire your students, what it is you do to support them and bring them forward in their journey.
I guess for myself, I wanted to be the conduit that helps students get to where they want to be. Because, if I talk about myself in the beginning, where I wanted to be a composer, I wanted to write, that was just very natural for me. And it's like, well, no, like that's for other people. You play, 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 play. Not only did I want to make, education and craft it for the composer, the writers, the creators in that way. But also if you wanted to play, we have that for you. Or if you wanted to, do both, we have that for you. Just like, but I wasn't allowed for the longest time to be able to just create and, and do what I wanted to do, and without making a path for myself, beating the hell out of something. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to just be able to say, like, okay, what do you want to do? And also to recognize that, especially like the arts, are a human birthright, right? Every like if people, especially if I'm just gonna focus on music for a second, everybody listens to music. Just like everybody listens to music, even some deaf people listen to music. And there was actually a deaf person in Lulu. And at the same time, you're gonna say like, well, but you don't feel you can create that. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that we all have ideas. And so
Beautiful. Well,
anybody can learn anything. I really honestly believe it, right? Anybody can learn anything, and even the beginner should be honored because they're the most sacred because they have just started, and whatever they are given is what is going to be their foundation. So like, so any house built on a well foundation, you can build a palace on that. And that was very important to me. When I came to Parkside, I had a lot of great information, but I also came with a lot of misinformation. Because like when you're self-taught and you go online for certain things, and let's say you're like, okay, I play guitar, and like, oh, here's, I want to learn how to play a certain song or do a certain thing, and then you go online, and then there's like some tablature or music or whatever it is, and then you try it and it doesn't turn out right, and you're like, and you're thinking, oh, I must be the problem. When actually, what they actually published isn't right.
Oh.
Do you see what I'm saying? Now that you grow up a little bit and you're educated, you can, because sometimes my students will be like, well, hey, I got this thing online, like let me look at it before, because you. That might be the problem, not you. It's not always like that, but how do you, as a beginner, adjudicate resources? Right? That's hard. And so I really, there's something sacred to the beginner, right? And there's a beauty in that spark that gets someone started, that I just really feel like that is the first flame that you carry that turns into the flame, right? That is it. And so that is really precious to me. And no matter what your stage is, even if you're every time you're learning something new or doing something that you've never done or taking a chance, you're that beginner again. So that flame is always to be taken care of, right? That it's always there. And so I know I'm getting artsy fartsy and preachy,
No,
but
it's great.
that's who I am.
So, how about an old dude like me? And I don't know if the demographics of WPR listeners skews to the older, and so we might be speaking to more than one person here. But I'm wondering, how do we keep the flame alive? For example, I played clarinet in high school, and then through much of my life after, just as a hobby. And I like to sing, as you know. I love going to musicals. So this flame is still there. What about somebody who's further along in life and a lover of music? We'll use music as the example here. What advice would you give to the lifelong learner about keeping the flame alive?
Simply to any learner, just and anybody who's doing anything creative, don't judge.
Don't judge.
Because I have an equation, right? Inspiration plus judgment equals blocks. Inspiration, might without judgment equals great art, right? Like so for example, even in what you're saying, like when you're like, well, I'm older, I'm this, I'm that, and there's a certain amount of judgment. So who cares? Like if you have an inspiration, accept your inspiration. Inspiration plus acceptance equals great art. Accept your inspiration. Accept it, right? And follow that. And learn from that, right? Pick up your accept where you're at and go to where you're at, right? It's just like if I'm sitting here, it's almost like, well, I want to go north. I have a compass, right? Accept where you're standing and go to where you're going. Like it is just that simple. But if you replace judgment with acceptance, acceptance will fuel inspiration and you will do great things. But that's the other thing. It's like look, I mean, I started at Parkside when I was 27 years old. I had like senioritis 4, 5, 6 years before I started. It was like I graduated when I was in my 30s, and the thing, when I was 26, when I was 25, when I was 24, right? If I, like those are times where just like, okay, are you just going to accept your situation, right? So it's acceptance. That's it. That's it.
Acceptance. Could I hear that formula one more time? The inspiration formula?
Acceptance, well, I'm sorry. Inspiration plus judgment equals blocks. Inspiration plus acceptance equals great art and great things.
So let's all go out there and create great art and great things. How about that? Thank you, Ayisu Laerte. Such an inspiring and wonderful interview. It's been a delight to speak with you today. This has been Ayisu Laerte in the Department of Music at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. I'm your host, Jonathan Shaler, and this has been Education Matters. Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Society's Assets in Racine offers a support group for those with any degree of vision loss. It's held the first Thursday of every month at 5200 Washington Avenue. For more, call Tammy at 262-925-6097. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, all Kenosha public libraries are collecting unwanted eyeglasses, hearing aids, and cell phones on behalf of the Kenosha Noon Lions. The club will repurpose eyeglass parts, receive credit for the purchase of new hearing aids, and will get money for cell phone parts.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you can join me for Monday's morning show here on WGTD. We're going to be spending most of the program with Matt Prochaska, who is tourism manager for the village of Mount Pleasant. And we're going to be talking about one of the best-kept secrets here in southeastern Wisconsin, Campus Park, a beautiful outdoor music venue at which all kinds of interesting concerts occur throughout the summer. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Hospice Alliance will host its annual Root River Poker Run Saturday, July 19th. Bike, run, drive, kayak, or dinghy from stop to stop to collect all 7 stamps, then return to the Riverside Marina Clubhouse. Details at hospicealliance.org. from the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar. It's called Dine and Donate for Degrees. The Mahone Foundation has lined up restaurants in May and June that have agreed to donate part of their proceeds to scholarships.